the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Everyone, I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower, and for today's show, we want to cover a subject that's going to help you a lot. Those of you that listen to the show and are close to retirement, this show is really for you, even if you're just thinking about retirement. And I have to say that the show for today was prompted by several emails we've received on a topic since the beginning of the year. It has a lot to do with the key decisions that should be made before you actually decide to retire. What kind of things you need to know before making that decision to go ahead and retire. And as we approach this subject, we're doing it from the standpoint that the decision to retire is voluntary. But really, this is just as important if your retirement becomes involuntary, either due to health or for economic reasons, like, for example, a recession, maybe a layoff. It could even be a corporate buyout that maybe suddenly thrusts you into retirement. And I think we can all agree there's nothing worse than having something like this happen to you, and at the same time, you're not prepared for this event. And hopefully that doesn't happen to you. But today what we're going to do is cover the broad stroke questions, those questions you need to be made aware of before that decision's made. And again, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. And then in later programs, we do want to cover these topics in more detail.
Yeah, from a broad perspective. And once again, we're responding. A lot of you have said, hey, we like Lifetime Income. I'm not sure if I'm ready to retire. What are the things I should know or be asking? What are the key decisions I'm going to be facing? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this from about five key retirement decisions that have to be made. And then there are subsets of these categories, which we'll cover on, let's say, future shows. When it comes to, for example, distributions and taking advantage of employer plans, folks, there are so many things that are involved in that. We're going to cover that separately. But here's what these basic five are. Number one, this may seem like a no-brainer, but it is one of the most important. When to actually retire. And we'll get into that in just a second. The second one, when to claim Social Security benefits. Number three, where to live in retirement. Four, Medicare, health insurance, and even long-term care. And number five, tax and estate planning. Now, these may seem very simple, but I'll tell you, they're very crucial, as you're going to see, and they really determine so many aspects of your retirement. You may not think of when to actually retire as important. It is the single most important decision you're going to face.
Well, it really is important, and that decision to actually retire or even to consider retiring, it's just so critical. The truth is that studies have shown that a significant portion of older adults, they don't think they're going to retire. Unfortunately, the main reason is they don't think they have sufficient resources to retire. And in a few other cases, they just don't want to retire because they like to work. And much of their meaning of who they are and their social life is really tied into that job.
You know, that's something that you talk about meaning that comes into play here. I can't tell you the number of health experts that we've had on the program, from Dr. Gary Small from the UCLA Longevity Center and many others, Caldwell Esselton from the Cleveland Health Clinic, that have talked about the importance of having meaning, staying active during retirement has a lot to do with longevity. I can remember many, many years ago, I had a client who was a very high-powered corporate executive. I mean, this guy worked 60, 70-hour weeks. He was always on airplanes, flying all over the world. And, I mean, that was his whole life. And he didn't have any hobbies. Pretty much everything he did was in work. He retired and basically passed away within 5 years of retirement. And so it's really important when you say when to retire. It is actually more complex than it looks. I mean, there's issues related to, for example, pension benefits, Social Security benefits, tax consequences, distributions, drawdown rates on your capital. All of these are going to be impacted by the date you set when you retire. And let's hope when that decision is made, it is you making it, and it's not going to be involuntary.
Well, and in addition to that, Jim, there are also some qualitative questions that need to be considered. And it's really one big reason why you really should be working with a retirement advisor.
You know, Chris, there's two aspects that come to mind. Let's talk about them. The first is that it may not be easy to get the job back or a similar job if you change your mind. So the decision to let go really needs to be made carefully. The other is that from many, a job means status, perks, things like a company car, built-in socialization, a sense of purpose. It's important to contemplate what will be lost and how some of these qualities will be replaced. Now, I want to share two stories with you. I want to share past experience of clients who have made decisions to retire too early. Now, in one case, the gentleman was an engineer. They retired. Their dream was taking off on RVs and not having to come back within 2 weeks when you get your vacation working for an employer. So after several years of basically going around the country, I think they saw all 50 states, he got bored with his life and he felt unchallenged. Here's the problem. When he tried to get back in the workforce, he found that, number one, employers were less likely to hire him because, number one, being out of work for several years. Number two, age. At his age, in his early 60s, and the cost of carrying his health care. Now, with another client, this client was a physician who found his life empty and, quite honestly, was bored. I hooked him up with a life coach, and basically they came to the realization that he really did not want to go back to work, but he wanted to do something in the medical field because he didn't want to go back to work and get called on weekends, as many doctors do. What he decided to do is work with a Christian group of doctors that go to poor countries and help the poor and less fortunate. So, number one, he gets to travel. He still practices medicine. But more importantly, he has a sense of purpose besides a whole new social network of friends.
You know, we can't understate how important that is, having that sense of purpose and being able to maintain it. I also think the next major point that's related to when you retire is the decision as to when to claim Social Security benefits. I've heard in the past, Jim, you've mentioned some of these, I don't want to say nuances, but there's just some stuff you got to know. And you've even had experts from Social Security that have been here on the program who have often mentioned claiming early Social Security benefits and foregoing 25% of their full retirement benefit. Can you go into a little bit of that? Because that's not a small impact.
No, Chris, it's not just 25% if you take it early. It's actually close to 55% if you take it at the appropriate time. So, you know, this decision, I can't tell you how important it is in calculating your retirement benefits and creating what we have talked about in the past, a secure floor for income during your retirement years. Now, the nice thing about benefits when it comes to Social Security, these are government guaranteed. It's indexed to inflation and can increase substantially if you delay them until age 70. That's the other 32% I was talking about in addition to foregoing the 25% if you take it early. Now, you can literally add the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars to your retirement by making the right choices when it comes to Social Security. I have a case right now that we completed, and the shortfall for my client to work was basically he would have to work an additional 3 years because they simply did not have the capital. Well, they thought they would have the capital. They were planning on retirement. But here's something, folks, that I'm sure all of you have realized if you retired. $1 million today does not buy you the same goods and services $1 million did 10 years or 20 years ago. More importantly, the returns on $1 million aren't as great. I mean, take a look at what you're earning in the bank, what you're earning on CDs, and don't forget, we were at 0% interest rates for almost 7 years. So as we took a look at it, there just wasn't the capital there to allow them to retire in the lifestyle they wanted to enjoy in their retirement years. So we took a look at it, and we did some calculations, and we said, look, if you retire 3 more years, that is going to be an extra $1,000 a month for you and your wife. Because remember, the wife gets half of the husband's Social Security, which would have been greater than his wife's Social Security. That is an extra $12,000 a year. Now, let me put this in another way. You would need, at today's current interest rates on treasuries, and I'm talking about long-term treasuries of 3%, you would need an additional $400,000 of capital to provide that extra $12,000 a year. I don't know of too many people who could save $400,000 after tax in just 3 years. And this is one reason why you need to talk to a knowledgeable advisor, ourselves or somebody else that is very knowledgeable what this means. I mean, when I explained to him that it was going to be $1,000 a month more, $12,000 more a year, and we would need to have $400,000 of capital saved or earned or made in the investment markets in 3 years, it really drove home the point. But just by working that additional 3 years, the $12,000 of additional income, and remember, this income was guaranteed by the government. You simply can't get that guarantee with investments, nor with trying to save an equivalent amount through annual savings.
Well, let's go ahead then and move on to the next topic, which is where to retire. Jim, I think you'll agree this has to be a key decision. Really, where you end up living impacts your cost of living to a tremendous degree. It affects living expenses like food, shelter, not to mention the taxes that you pay or the quality of life.
You know, this is another important one. Like I say, we're hitting this with broad strokes and we'll get more detailed in the weeks ahead. But when it comes to where you live in retirement, we know that the vast majority of retirees, according to studies, stay in the family home. So if you are deciding as to where to live, there are a couple questions you should ask yourself. Number one, is your family home set up for retirement living? Picture yourself today, but also try to think of yourself 15, 20 years from now. Does the house work? Are you going to be climbing a couple flights of stairs if you're 85 or 90? In other words, is the home set up to accommodate you as you get older? Number two, is the neighborhood conducive to retirement? Are there hospitals, medical facilities close by? I had a client recently whose wife had a heart attack, and thank goodness he was 5 minutes away from the ER at the hospital that they live close to. Had he not been that close, it is unlikely his wife would have survived the heart attack. As many of you know, with heart disease, when you have a heart attack, it's very critical sometimes that they do certain things within 90 minutes of the heart attack. Otherwise, there's permanent damage to the heart. So things like being close to medical facilities. Another one, is the home a financial drain from an upkeep? I just visited a friend who had a home. They built it 25 years ago. He's going to have to replace the roof. That's going to be $25,000. He's going to have the pool recoated, or they're going to have to drain it and restucco it, do something because it has leaks. I mean, think of the repairs, the maintenance, and another factor that comes in. You still have a mortgage. Wouldn't it be nice to get rid of one? Another question, do you have a lot of equity trapped in that mortgage that you need to, let's say, get rid of the mortgage payment, but also free up some equity to provide some capital? I have a client who lived in the state of Washington. He sold his business and retired there. Now, the problem is the state of Washington has no income tax, but it does have an estate tax, and it is as high as 20%. So anybody that lives in Washington around Seattle, you know, the rain, the temperatures, the coldness around that time of the year, the gloomy skies, they would end up spending winters in Scottsdale, Arizona. So we showed them by changing their domicile from an estate point of view, they would save over $1.2 million for their heirs. Let's talk about some of the negatives. Arizona does have an income tax. There's a 4.5% tax rate. So they would be in a 2.5% income tax bracket, which we could control through dividends and tax-free bonds. But what was also important to them is they were close to medical facilities. There was also a Mayo Clinic close to where they live, and he had particular medical issues where this became important. In fact, one of the procedures he had done at Mayo Clinic. So all of these things fit into place, Chris, because sometimes you think of income taxes, you might think, why would a guy leave a state like Washington, where there's no income taxes, and move to a state like Arizona, where there is some income tax? The reason in this case was weather, medical, and getting rid of estate taxes.
You know, and it really is a huge decision. You know, I was thinking about this, that you can't often change how much money you have coming in, you know, not in later years. There's not as many options. Those options become more limited. But oftentimes, you can choose where you're going to live, and that really can make an impact toward the bottom line, toward your standard of living.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. I would say that probably, I used to say 25%, but we're finding over a third of our clients, at least that live in very expensive places, not only here in our own state of California, but you live on the East Coast, you live in New York, or you live in states like Illinois, where the taxes, the cost of living, Maryland, where you have, I think it's the state of Maryland that has not only inheritance, but estate taxes. You start looking at that and you think, you know, why am I going to stay here? And it's not like just the tax issues and the cost of living. It's also the quality of life. I mean, Chris, you know what it's like to drive in California. I mean, you get on the freeways at the wrong time, you can add an extra hour to your commute. You know, get caught in a traffic jam. I remember we were coming back. What was that? I think it was when we were driving to Phoenix. I had the untimely sense to arrive during traffic hour. And so we got to Phoenix. The last 20 miles took us 55 minutes. So quality of life is also an important thing.
And Jim, you'd mentioned some of the natural things that we think of, like, for example, taxes and the cost of living. Those factor in too.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many decisions that are involved with making the decision to move. I mean, pick up your roots, sell the family home. You know, a lot of people, probably in the Southwest, people tend to move more. But we've noticed, at least with our clients, people on the East Coast tend to stay in their homes a lot longer, at least than those in the, let's say, the Pacific Southwest and areas like California, where you see a lot more movement. But the decisions are more involved. Things that would come to mind, if you're going to make a move and you move into a new home, is it designed for retirement and aging? Everything from showers to bathtubs to hallways to not having to climb a flight of stairs. Do you want to move, as some people do, in an adult community, let's say individuals 55 and plus, that offers you all kinds of activities and socialization? Do you need to free up needed equity in your home to provide you with additional income or eliminate a mortgage payment? And do you need to find a cheaper locale to live from, the cost of housing to general living expenses? If you're living in a place like New York, New Jersey, California, you will find moving to, let's say, inland, whether it's a place like Arizona, Nevada, Texas, or moving south on the East Coast down to Florida, you can save almost 40%. In other words, you can live a lot cheaper. And we're not just talking about income taxes. We're talking about the other taxes. And speaking of taxes, when looking at a move, just don't look at the income taxes. Look at all the taxes, especially now when you can't deduct property taxes. There's a limit of $10,000. Take a look at sales taxes. We have a lot of people that live in Washington that will cross over into Idaho just simply because they can buy goods cheaper because the sales tax is cheaper. And then also, like our client that moved from Washington to Arizona, estate taxes. In this case, my client chose to pay a small additional state income tax in favor of saving well over $1.2 million. And here's the issue for them, is they were well off enough that they weren't spending all their income, meaning that their estate would only get larger in the years ahead. And as we pointed out, every additional dollar in their estate would be taxed at a tax rate, estate tax rate, of 20%. And they had several kids and they wanted to leave a legacy to their children. So that became really a deciding factor. The other factor was the Mayo Clinic that was located in Scottsdale and also the nicer weather during the winter.
What about decisions, Jim, for example, retirement distributions from employer tax advantage plans? It would seem that that's an issue that would be just as important.
You know, Chris, this is a subject that we're going to cover in quite detail because it is becoming much more complex today. And this is a topic that impacts almost everyone from the private sector to the public sector. Every potential retiree faces distribution options when it comes to their employer plans. You don't get a lump sum or anything, but you have to make a decision whether you take a life annuity on your life or you take a joint life or, let's say, your life, 10-year certain, whatever that option is. Distribution elections are complex transactions that involve lots of paperwork. It's just the society we live in. The other aspect to consider is once the distribution option is chosen, in most cases, the decision is irreversible. For example, you elect a life annuity on your pension plan on a single person, it's going to be a lot larger. So the income is going to be bigger. Or let's say versus a joint in survivor annuity, The problem is, once you make that election, you can't reverse it. There are decisions to make, such as rolling over your 401k to, let's say, an IRA rollover, Roth IRA conversions, when to make them, what years to do it, how much, so that you can get tax-free income and you're not going to be subject to those mandatory distributions that begin at age 70 and a half, nor will your heirs. So there's so many things that go into this, Chris. This will probably take a couple of shows to cover because you have no idea how complex this is.
Well, and life has gotten more complicated too. It doesn't change when you retire. There's just so many questions and decisions that have to be made that are really going to have an impact on retirement. And really, those decisions, if they're not made appropriately, it could have a negative impact and alter someone's entire retirement. So these are topics that, as you mentioned, we're going to cover in more detail in the future. And I'm looking forward to going down that path with you, Jim, so that our listeners are made well aware. I want to quickly summarize, though, those 5 points that you mentioned when we started the show, because I think it's really important for our listeners to get a firm handle. There's 3 basic ones and then 2 that we put on the end that are important. The first one is to think about and be aware of when you're going to retire. You want to start there. Start thinking about that window of time or that date. And then also the second is about when to claim Social Security benefits. And Jim talked a little bit about that and the impact it can have if it's earlier versus later. Also, where to live in retirement. And here at Financial Sense, we've done a number of shows on this specific issue and the impact that your location can make, whether it's a tax impact or otherwise. The fourth one, Medicare, health insurance, and long-term care. These are all things that are going to impact how you retire. Finally, the fifth one is tax and estate planning. So those are some areas we're going to go into more detail on later. But I want to remind our listeners before we conclude this program, Jim, we've got part 2 of our show, Living the RV Life. And last week, we had Mark and Julie Bennett. They're the authors of the book, Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. And Jim, you really, this was a golden episode where you really go into a number of important things, like what do you do if you're towing a vehicle? How does that work in certain places where you take your RV? What kind of RV to get? And there's even more that you go into on part 2. So looking forward to tomorrow, Living the RV Life part 2.
All right. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.